How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. If you really want to go home and ruin your Christmas, go home and Google image search feet. You'll see some things you'd wish you'd not seen, and things that you can't unsee. Feet are gross. They just are. Feet have this certain reputation, and I believe it's well earned. Feet, they carry us around, and they walk us around everywhere we go, and it's no wonder that our feet are dirty and smelly and often riddled with all sorts of calluses and athlete's foot and fungus, and it's just gross. And in biblical times, the washing of feet was an important part of Jewish culture and custom. Now, washing your feet was important not only for cultural, religious reasons, but for the practical reason that people just needed to wash their feet. Nike athletic shoes hadn't been invented yet. You know, so when choosing between different types of footwear, your choices were sandals or sandals. And so walking around the dusty streets with just sandals on is a good way to get a solid caking of mud and dirt on your feet. If feet weren't filthy enough, even in our modern context, the thought of beautiful feet in Israel's time is certainly out of place. It's difficult for me to get a picture of these beautiful feet. But as we read from the prophet Isaiah, these feet are beautiful not because of their appearance, but because of what they carry. Good news. These feet are beautiful because of what they do. These feet carry words. Words of joy and words of hope to God's people. Isaiah was writing in a time of sorrow. He was writing to a people who were in despair. The people of Israel, God's chosen people, they had just returned from years of exile in the hostile nation of Babylon. And they were just a shattered shell of the kingdom that they once were. A remnant. God's remnant. The people of Israel. Just looking around for what's next. And in many ways, Isaiah's words for us this morning to Israel, here in chapter 52, they parallel God's people today. See, these words are for the church too, as we look at the world around us. And yeah, we may be in a very different time and place than the people of Israel, this remnant coming out of exile, but the words and the promises that God offers here in Isaiah are as true for us today as they were for God's people then. As the people of Israel made their way back to Israel, back into their promised land that was given to them so long ago, they had a lot of questions. They had a lot of questions. And it makes sense. You know, God had chosen them. God had made promises of how he was going to work through them, that through them he was going to bless all nations, all people. How could God allow for such death and destruction to befall his chosen people? God, how could you let all of these things happen? God, where are you? What are we supposed to do now? Under very different circumstances, we often ask the very same questions. When we face tragedy, when we face heartache, it's difficult for us to understand how a God who loves us could allow for such terrible things to happen in this world. See, the destruction and the captivity of Israel was not the first tragedy, was not the first injustice to take place in this world. And it certainly wasn't the last. How many times do we ask those same questions in the face of another school shooting? How many times do we ask those same questions when we have a friend or a family member who dies in a car accident, who is diagnosed with a terminal illness? In the face of these things, we ask those same questions. God, where are you? How have you let these things happen? Where do we go from here? How beautiful are the feet of him who brings good news. And the good news is that we're not supposed to do anything. We can't do anything. And that might not seem like good news, except when we consider God's promise here in Isaiah 52. This is not the end. God isn't finished yet. And Isaiah prophesied to this remnant of Israel that God wasn't finished with them yet. Isaiah told his people that the Lord would return his people to Zion, that through them the whole world would witness God's salvation of his people. That through that small remnant of people would come salvation, would come life, would come joy and peace. And it would be for all people, all nations. Despite all of the questions, all of the confusion, God would make himself known through his chosen people. And through them, the nations would be blessed. That blessing is Jesus. Though the kingdom of Israel that they had coveted was long gone, a new kingdom was born in Jesus. A kingdom not of armies and of soldiers, but a kingdom of life and salvation. And that's why the watchmen and everyone with them sing for joy in Isaiah 52. For God has come to us. The Lord has returned to Zion. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was born and in a manger laid to give life to the world. There's nothing that they could do, for it was God who at the right time put into motion his plan of salvation through Jesus. We read in Titus, when the goodness and faithfulness of God appeared, he saved us. Not because of any works of us, but according to his own mercy. We are the watchmen now. We are the watchmen. The birth of the Savior has come and gone, but we still live in this world. We still experience it and wait in duress. We still wait as fear and tragedy plague our hearts and our minds. And we still ask those questions. God, where are you? God, what can we do in face of such things? Blessed, how beautiful are the feet of him who brings good news. For us, the beautiful feet are the pierced and bloodied feet of Jesus. The gnarled and tortured feet of Jesus surely weren't beautiful in appearance, but were the most beautiful beautiful and precious feet in what they did. They offer us hope. Those beautiful feet of Jesus accomplished something that we never could. In Jesus, there is hope for a new life, a life of forgiveness from our sins. In Jesus, there is a hope of a new future, a future with no pain, no tragedy, a future where God wipes away every tear from our eyes. And it's true, I can't make sense of the hurt and the tragedy that floods my newsfeed each and every day. But when I look to Jesus, I know everything I need to know. God, in his faithfulness to us, sent a Savior. And what's more, he isn't finished. As we look to Isaiah 52, these words are fulfilled and yet still to be accomplished. For all people, the hope of a Savior is here. But for the world, we still await for the Lord's final redemption. For our God to bear his holy arm and restore his perfect creation. So in that, we have a unique perspective. Because we, as God's people, rejoice at the revealing of God's righteous salvation in Jesus, the birth of a child in Bethlehem, the hope of a remnant coming out of Babylon. But now, we await in hope. We wait for the fullness of God's promises to be accomplished when our Savior Jesus will come again. And so today we sing, we rejoice, we celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus. But we also look ahead to his coming again, that we might rejoice with the watchman forever as our King reigns upon the throne. Amen, and come, Lord Jesus.